Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
First of all, let me start out by saying, as the City of Buffalo Comptroller, I thank each and every one of you for being present here with me this afternoon to share some very important information. As the City of Buffalo Comptroller, my duty, first and foremost, is to safeguard the city's financial stability and to ensure that taxpayer dollars are managed responsibly. Today, I want to be clear about why I am appealing the recent court decision and how this moment is about more than a legal ruling. It's about the long-term fiscal health of our city and setting a precedence to be established for all villages, towns, and cities throughout New York State. On August 1st of 2024, my office filed the Comptroller's Estimate Report as required by the City Charter. That report established the city's borrowing capacity for fiscal year 2024-2025 at $28 million. All parties, including the Mayor's Office, the Buffalo Public Schools offices, and the Common Council, were notified in writing of that decision. Despite this clear guidance, the administration submitted a $110 million capital budget, an amount nearly four times our capacity. I have consistently and publicly stated that I will not exceed the established debt cap. Fiscal responsibility is not an option. It's a requirement of good government. When the court ruled that my office must issue and sell bonds beyond that legal limit, it presented a dilemma that was difficult to accept in good conscience. Therefore, based on my attorney's advice, I decided to appeal to the Appellate Division, 4th Department of the Supreme Court of the State of New York. It is hoped that a stay will remain in effect during this appeal. It is also hoped that such action will provide an opportunity to ensure that the citizens and taxpayer concerns are heard, valued, and respected. Let me be very clear. This appeal is not about politics or personal disagreements. It's about preserving the integrity of the city charter and ensuring independent fiscal oversight for future generations. If we compromise these principles today, we put our city's financial stability at risk for tomorrow. Unlike others in the legal profession, I will not rush this process. I will proceed cautiously on the people's timetable only. Now, none of the information that I'm sharing is new other than the appeal. The information that I have provided has been readily available for years via public disclosures filed by the Department of Audit and Control on the Buffalo Common Council public agenda. My message of fiscal responsibility has remained consistent. Our capital debt management plan is the roadmap for responsible investing and borrowing. It continues to show the need to balance not only for school improvements, as well as roads, etc. It helps to outline the reality that our debt service and available resources are limited. Currently, the city's outstanding debt totals approximately $180 million. And as of June 30th, 2025, there is $275 million in unspent capital project balances. Before taking on new borrowing and continuing business as usual, we must focus on effectively spending down existing funds and aligning new projects within our fiscal responsibility. These words are new to many of those in city government, to citizens and taxpayers, but it is a reality check. That said, the recent Citizens Planning Council 2026 capital budget request that was submitted includes an additional $116 million. Now, we're trying to sort through the overage of $82 million for 2025. The council has proceeded with a recommendation that supersedes that, and which is more than $88 million for the year 2026. Please help me to make it make sense. For those who still question why I keep ringing the bell and proclaiming that the notion of borrowing our way out of debt is never the correct solution, let us reflect on the fact that we shouldn't borrow our way out of current fiscal challenges, as we already face the leanest opportunities for operations for the operational budget in recent years. This is a reminder that our annual capital budget debt payment comes directly from our property tax receipts. So to those average citizens and taxpayers, you need to know that all of this borrowing that we have done, that is being recommended to occur, comes directly from your property tax receipts. What does that mean? It means to expect a future property tax increase. With borrowing from the property tax revenues, it is possible that because we take our funds to pay for this borrowing right off the top, it always reduces the available revenue for operations. So people are, they're wanting their roads and sidewalks and everything done. But you need to understand that every time we go to the market and we borrow money, that money is paid first. Whatever is left can be used for operational expenses. In the current fiscal year, the capital debt payment is $36,248,635. And it's broken into two payments in July and December. December is around the corner. We're going to have to come up with $36 million in December of 2025. That's our reality. Continued borrowing is merely a band-aid solution to avoid making the tough decisions that are immediately needed. As many of you know, Fitch Ratings affirmed the city's A+ credit rating. I've worked hard in the last 6 years to ensure that we stayed with a good, decent rating. Currently, that's not the case. It was revised from stable to negative. citing concerns about our long-term fiscal management. Another credit reporting agency, unfortunately, gave us the same type of rating. These changes are warnings. They're warnings that we need to reinforce our financial situation and that we need to move into a better and make better financial decisions. As a comptroller, I have rung the bell for fiscal accountability before. I'm going to keep ringing it. I'm going to ring it next week, next month, and next year. Not as a symbol of opposition, but of obligation. Since being elected to office in 2019, I have made the case that the city's adopted budgets included overstated revenues and understated expenses, ergo, our current situation. I was elected to be the chief fiscal officer for the people of Buffalo, and I take that responsibility seriously. My commitment remains unwavering to ensure that every borrowing decision reflects responsibility, transparency, and a long-term vision. I have been repeatedly encouraged by numerous citizens and taxpayers from across the city of Buffalo to continue to fight the good fight and to use all legal resources available to avoid setting a historical legal precedent that can have an adverse effect on other municipalities through case law throughout New York State. Finally, at the end of the day, after exhausting all legal remedies, if I must sign the documents to force the city of Buffalo into further debt to be paid back by taxpayers, I will do so under duress in public view. The fiscal integrity of the city must be protected, not just for today, but for future generations of Buffalonians to come. I thank each and every one of you for the opportunity to present to you today, and I will now stand that back and give you an opportunity for any questions and or concerns.
Judge Pagliacomo, in his ruling, said that the recommended cap is just a recommendation. There's nothing in the city charter that makes that a mandatory cap. Why double down on this and appeal to the expense of the taxpayer?
So to the expense of taxpayers, at this time, the expense has been approximately $8,000. While that is an excessive amount of money, I think that the investment of $8,000 was worth the fight to try to prevent the city from going into millions of dollars in debt. Yes, that was a ruling, but if you look at the charter, it does not say that it was ambiguous at best. There's nothing in the city charter that says I must. The words such as the use of shall and should, but based on my interpretation, and I'm not an attorney, so I had to defer to my attorney, he felt that if we take it to the next level, there is a strong possibility that it could be overturned because there is nothing in the charter that says I must do it. This is historical in nature. It has never happened in the history of Buffalo. That's more of a reason why we should not just automatically just ignore it and move forward. This is new, this is significant. This will affect not only the city of Buffalo, but every municipality throughout New York State will have this as case law. Ergo, whatever the executive and legislative branches of government decide, it is as if the notion is the financial, the controller, the comptrollers simply are figureheads to sign the documents to advance the checks. There should be something in place where the fiscal officer of the city should have some way, some opportunity to weigh in on the direction of the finances. As I've shared before, at this point in time, we're heading into an environment where if the mayor decides to borrow $1 trillion, if the council members decide, let's go ahead and approve that, you're putting the comptroller in a position to go to market and borrow $1 trillion, whether or not we, the citizens, the taxpayers, can afford to pay it. So that is why it is important to appeal and to take it to the next level, because it is setting a historical precedence that has never occurred in the city of Buffalo, and to my knowledge, throughout New York State.
back on October 7th, when you issued your office to issue out those bonds, this, the focus of this lawsuit essentially from the mayor and the county council, is that being walked back now, or is that still in place, but the appeal now will also be added on?
No, let me be very clear. Back in October, that was a band sale. What we're talking about is the capital borrowing. That was a totally different type of borrowing, which was going to occur anyway. That was for band sales, which, you know, it's borrowing with an anticipated that it's going to be paid back within a year. So those are two different entities. And the purpose of doing that borrowing was to ensure that those projects, which were reimbursable by the state and by the federal government, that we did not put any of that funding at risk. What we're focusing on now are those projects that are within the capital budget that is business as usual. The city every year goes to market and it borrows, whether it's 28, 26, 25. It's just a pattern that they've done forever. It is now at the point where we have to begin to stop and say, just because it says you can borrow 28, should we keep borrowing 28? Especially when we have dollars that are sitting on the table, projects that haven't even moved out, but it's just become a bad habit that the city has moved forward. So those are two different entities. The ban that was done was to protect those reimbursable projects and to ensure that projects such as on Jefferson, Bus-Stuy, car sharing on Main Street, that were going to receive federal reimbursements were intact, and to ensure that those shovel-ready projects from the Buffalo Public Schools, they remained intact. Because absence of moving forward, and they are too are reimbursable via the state, absence of me moving forward on that, it would have reduced the Buffalo Public Schools funding, and the city of Buffalo and the Buffalo Public Schools, they have a relationship, and it has been in place historically for years. So when the city of Buffalo's account falls low, the Buffalo Public Schools have loaned us that money until we get our back money from the state. So in an effort not to diminish the relationship that has been in place for years, it was important that the Buffalo Public Schools, who had shovel-ready projects, who was moving forward, did not have to dip into their accounts, because when we would have needed them in the near future, they would not have been able to assist us. So those are two separate entities.
The city has like hundreds of millions of dollars in capital need. Most municipal finance advisement says that bonding is the smart way to do it for long-term projects, equipment, stuff like that. Where would you suggest that the city goes to raise money for all those needs if they can't borrow?
Well, basically, I would suggest that they continue to stay as we're doing. See, we have to clearly understand, what happened this year is not just the city of Buffalo doing its usual bonding like it's done, which is fine. The equation was shifted when the Buffalo Public Schools entered the equation. And that's what threw everything out of whack. The city of Buffalo came forward with this 28, and it's my understanding for this upcoming year, the city of Buffalo has their 28. It is the Buffalo Public Schools that have come in with about $88 million. And that's what's throwing everything out of whack. If you all can remember, years ago, we had the Joint School Construction Board. And that provided an avenue for the Buffalo Public Schools to borrow. That's not in existence right now. So they've come to the city and said, let us borrow. Had they come, like, perhaps, and started doing it gradually, that's one thing. But they've come through the door with an excessive amount, and that has thrown everything out of whack.
But pretty much all the school projects are 97%.
They're pretty much 97, yes, they are 95, whatever that actual figure is, 96% reimbursable. But I have to make sure, even though it's reimbursable, you don't spend it today and you get reimbursed tomorrow. It is a process that takes years and years and years to get that money back in our coffers. So I don't want to put the city of Buffalo in a position where, because we don't know the state of New York State. In the city of Buffalo, we're looking at million-dollar deficits. New York State is looking at billions of dollars of deficits. So while it sounds good in theory, we all know what's happening even at the federal level. So just because it is available to do does not necessarily mean let's just keep going out and let's just keep borrowing because we can. You'll always have to remember some type of way you have to pay that borrowing back. If you don't pay it back now, you're going to pay it back tomorrow.
But isn't all this beside the point? Because the, a judge said the Common Council is the appropriating body. So why do you think this time this appeal is going to be different? Why do you think it's going to have a different outcome?
We have additional information to provide. That's what an appeal is about. We have we'll have a different set of individuals looking at the information provided. That's what the entire legal process is all about. It gives you an opportunity to provide additional information.
In order to win an appeal, you need to prove that your rights as a controller are being violated by Judge Poliakova's ruling. So how are your rights as a controller being violated by the judge's ruling?
I'm not an attorney, so I can't respond to that.
Is your attorney here?
My attorney is not here present today.
Pardon?
You know what, and I don't have the script here, but you all know that it's going into litigation. I can't answer those types of questions because it is going to be a legal matter. So you all clearly know that standing in front of the media, I can hurt my case if I start talking about my opinions and whatever my thoughts are because it's going into litigation. So based on that, I'm going to protect that case and be very careful with whatever responses I give, and I'm going to defer my responses to my attorney. He will provide and give me guidance because that's not my lane.
So the judge said that this is dereliction of duty on your part to not issue those bonds. How do you respond to that?
I respond that that's the judge's opinion. That's the words that he chose to use. I do not agree with that.
One more question.
Okay, and you talked about you're hoping that a stay remains in place. What if it doesn't? I mean, this may all be moot.
My attorney will provide further legal guidance.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves. We did it. So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus doorbusters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.